A major problem in this end of days, this perilous times, as the Bible said, is definition. Now, what I mean, and I know I've warned about this because the Bible warns about this, is what has happened, and we could blame Satan, we could blame man, either which way, is we've taken certain words, items that we are responsible for doing and changed the definition of it. So now you have a lot of people who have changed what it means to have faith, and they're doing it that way. You have many people that are changed what it means to have compassion, and they are doing it that way. A lot of people who have changed what it means to forgive, and they're doing it that way. Same thing with marriage. You see an adjustment, and many have many different definitions, and they changed it that way. And especially with love, people have made their own version and done it that way. The scary part about that is you have churches supporting those different definitions. Now, if God gives a clear understanding about something and we're doing it the way man has done it, then we're ignoring God. We must understand that. I think we're harming people when we help them feel good about doing wrong, when we allow them and they allow themselves to be deceived. We're going to talk about a topic, and I did this earlier, but I've been led to really push this again because I don't know if it's being seen. I think it's something that's accepted due to desire and not checked on based on faith. We're going to talk about an item that has existed in the body, but really can't exist in the body. You understand that? It's something that the people who claim to be a part have this. So pay close attention to this because it could be you it's talking about. Make sure you eliminate that and go and give the real thing. What's the real thing? I'm talking about the real thing is love. So the name of this word in my steps is characteristics of hate. I am coming to this from another angle. Instead of me just going deep and explaining love, I want you to take a close look at what hate looks like based on God's word. And then once you see that, you can measure it to yourself, to others you may endorse, to items that are in the world, to see if that is something that I'm endorsing, that I'm living, that I need to eliminate immediately. Now, we must recognize that Christianity is a relationship with God, and without that relationship, we cannot truly love. I mean, I could even add to this that the relationship with God is defined by God. Okay, hopefully you know that. And you have to have that relationship with God in order to love. That means people who aren't Christians aren't really loving. Whatever they're doing is some emotional thing. It's based on desire. It's stergo, is what we call a natural love, but it's not agape love because they don't have God. So as I have here, to truly know love, one must first know God. 1 John 4, verse 8 says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Remember, New Testament, actions are evidence. So what he's saying is if you see somebody that's not loving, they don't know God. Now, if you don't know God, you are not a Christian. Makes it very clear. So if I see you displaying something outside of love, and there's only the two choices, love or hate. Man has added a middle in there. I don't love you, but I don't hate you. Make us feel better. But I don't. There's nowhere in the Bible where it does that. We do that to justify us hating. Do you understand? But make it not as bad, and we call it something else. God himself is love. I'm supposed to display God, not my version of love. You see, if we truly live in God, we live in love. 1 John 4, 15 through 16 says, if anyone acknowledges, and remember, acknowledges means I'm in agreement with, acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. In other words, you'll see me understanding the full relationship of God the Son, God the Father, how they are one, God the Holy Spirit, how they are one. And so we know and rely, and this is verse 16, on the love God has for us. God is love. Once again, the Bible shows that. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Right? So if I'm living in love And you got to understand love. We're going to show the reverse. Because when you see the reverse, if this is you, you're not living in love, you are not a Christian. Okay? And it says, if I'm not living in love, God is not in me, which means I'm not a Christian. Hopefully you're getting this. Now, when we fail to live in love, we may fall into hate, watch this, even unintentionally. Here's some examples of times where your intent wasn't to hate. But just like God and how grace works, there's a lot of stuff God tells us. And when I do that one thing God tells me, it automatically does something else, right, to help me fulfill what I'm supposed to do. That's why I just trust in him. That's why I get credited with righteousness, right? Because he's given me that pass to just obey him, and then the rest will fall into place. Do you understand that? Like providing my family with food, I seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and he provides my family with food. See how that works? I'm doing something else, trusting in him. He'll take care of the other side. So in the same way, look at some of the things that we do that he shows is hate. When our treatment of other groups is rooted in hate. Proverbs 14, verse 20, and they use the poor that fits any other, a group that I look down on. And it says in 14, verse 20, the poor is hated even by his neighbor. This is a worldly mentality, but those who love the rich are many. We pick and choose the groups we hate and the groups we love. We lie on the groups we hate, and we lie in a positive way in the groups we love. All of this is not good because it's hate. A worldly person, if you came to them and you said, hey, you are racist, here's their defense. No, I'm not. And it ends there. Now, I know to them and to their group, it may feel like, well, they defended themselves. But you remember, we're going to be condemned or acquitted by our words. What that means is, if I said, no, I'm not, and my actions show otherwise, then I'm doomed. This is why I got to check me. I got to look what I'm doing. Do you understand that? And when I'm picking groups to hate on anything else other than what God says, I hate. And if I hate, I can't be a Christian. And he's saying this group, the poor, and it may be other races, it may be other items, even those who are living against God, we have to minister to them, and that's going to show love. I've seen Christians who show disdain for other groups. They hate them so much that they never get that grace chance, and that's done by people who are supposed to love. It also shows when we lie is hate. It shows in Proverbs 26, verse 28, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So when I lie to you, for whatever reason, I'm hating you. Right? If it ends up hurting you, and we see this in relationships, we see this from churches, we see this from people who say they're in relationships trying to help each other, and all we are doing is hating them. We're just thinking it's a white lie or whatever, and God is telling us the dangers of lie, and that's hate. Parenting without godly discipline is hate. This is always one that hits hard. But it doesn't hit that hard because you still see parents doing it their way. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son. That would hurt a lot of people's feelings. But if you notice, God is saying, I don't care. I'm telling you what it means to love. I am the answer. You don't get mad because it hurts your feelings because you're doing wrong. I'm trying to guide you in the right way is what God is trying to show us. So when he tells a parent, if you spare the rod, that means if you do not discipline. We have a lot of organizations and teachers and supposed experts that are basically allowing the child to do their own thing. We do not punish, right? But watch what he does say. He says, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. These who abuse, who just beat to hurt, who beat out of anger, that's all abuse. It's not discipline. Please know the difference. When I do it out of my emotions, when I do it out of flesh, it's abuse. When I do it based on God, I'm careful and purposeful to guide you, to let you know when you do that consequence. You're teaching them. It's well thought of. It's well prayed about for each child because you're loving them. But if you do nothing, you hate them. And if you harm them, you hate them. Which one do we fall in? And please be careful. Are you disciplining God's way? If your child's talking back and you're allowing it, if your child's doing something and you're allowing it, if you see him walking all over you, there's a problem. There's no discipline. Friendship with the world is hate. A lot of these groups that come out, and they call themselves Christians, especially nationalist Christians, man, love their country. And like I said, you've heard the term, and it's true. Nationalism is when people are saying, this is my nation and I belong to it. So either which way, Christians' nation is heaven. Christians' nation is sons of God. Do you understand that? That's the only nation we belong to. So when you see any quote-unquote Christian group who's a patriot, and so on and so forth, look what the word says. Proverbs 13, verse 24. James 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Now, I know I haven't heard a Christian say they hated God, but I've seen many Christians hate God. Why would he give us this answer as clear as it is, and you still got people living as this group? Right. They have this very strong embrace of the world. And that comes in different forms, either where I live, where I came from, certain things of the world that I allow to define me. When I allow those things to come into play and I embrace them, in other words, I befriend with them, then I hate God. And this is why you see so much Christianity tainted. Right. Many forms. You see histories of things of why these things were formed, and they were formed. A lot of the denominations and organizations were formed for worldly reasons. You understand that? They befriended the world, and now that was based on. Look at the history of a lot of them, okay? And we're still with that foundation. And just because you join it and just say you're going to church, if you're still doing this, you're hating God. And he even solidifies it by saying anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, we're going to show more of this, so pay close attention. So these are ways that your intent was never to hate. In fact, you thought you were loving, but automatically you hate. Think about it. Now, we are commanded to love even those who hate us and seek to harm us. Matthew 5, 43 through 45 says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That was an old Hebrew and sometimes Jewish statement that was put out there. People would hear, you know what I mean? And it was kind of in the law when you think about it, an eye for an eye to a certain extent. But he's showing through the law of grace, the law of Christ that we're under. He says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. This is a hard twist, because you watch them harming you and you want to defend and hit back. And that's not what we're supposed to do. Now, in no way does it mean endorse and enable. No, we don't do that. But I'm not showing myself fighting back, right? You still show love. You still want them to come to Christ. That is your intent in every way. He says that you may be sons of the Father in heaven, because that's what Christians are called. That is what we are supposed to be focused and headed towards. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. Now, like love, hate is an action. Feeling hate is a fleshly desire. You may feel a way towards somebody. This is when you feel like you love somebody and when you feel like you hate somebody. I've seen people ruin relationships because they think they're falling in love with somebody else, or they think they're falling out of love. It's the same thing with hate. Feelings are just desires, and desires are deceptive. Your desires are our flesh, which are fickle and can change by any type of what's happening in the world. Do you understand that? All of it is distorted. All of it goes in the wrong way. But we are called to act according to the Holy Spirit, not our desires. Our desires, once again, tell us where our minds are. The Holy Spirit gives us a reference to where we need to be, right? And we're always focusing on where we need to be. So if a feeling ever came over me, I got to stop. Okay, Keith, be aware of that. Do you understand that? Because if not, you'll call yourself showing love and you'll come off passive aggressive, very cold. That's still hate, because your actions are still reacting based on your flesh. Now, when we choose to follow the desire instead of the Spirit, we fall into sin. Plain and simple. That's why he gives us the evolution of sin in our lives. When he says in James 1, 14 through 15, but each one is tempted by his own evil desires. Remember, that's just saying his own desires. Whatever you desire, that's what's tempting you. Satan puts stuff in the world to click or to touch that desire one way or the other, to trigger that desire, which is a better way of saying it. And then we give in to it. That's temptation, because you really want something. When a person's on the diet, they're still hungry. That's the desire. It's when they eat because they feel hungry is where they fail. See how that works? It's the same way. Okay, so this is his own evil desire. Watch what happens. He is dragged away and enticed. Now, I go with that feeling, and this is why some organizations try to turn it into the Holy Spirit. And you got people that, man, it hits them. When I hear people talk about certain things, it either hits me or I don't care, feeling-wise. Do you understand? But my reaction still has to be fully based on grace. It has to be based on grace because I live by the Spirit. That's called spiritual living. Verse 15 says, then after desire has conceived, that means now that's your goal. That's your output that you're going to do. It gives birth to sin. That means now you acted and did something based on the flesh and not on God. But if you continue in that path, that's when it says, and sin, when it's full grown, now it becomes a lifestyle, gives birth to death. Now you're headed to hell. You see how that process works. Okay, so I have to make sure I'm not living off of an emotional thing, calling it love. I have to make sure I'm living off of true love, which is the Holy Spirit, which is God. Now, anyone that lives in hate is not a Christian. What does the Bible say? 1 John 2:9-11. Anyone who claims to be in the light. Here's the deal. Like I said earlier, you'll get somebody that'll say, I'm not evil. I'm not a racist. I'm not mean to people. I'm not not loving. I'm not. We like to tell somebody, I'm not it. And that's our defense. What God is saying is, you better prove it. My actions better show it, and not your version of it. I can say I'm a Christian, or as he says, in the light, but hates his brother. We're going to see what that is and what that looks like, is still in the darkness. That means you're saying you're a Christian, but you are not. This is clear to see, hopefully, for Christians. He just gave us for our evidence for us and our evidence for others. I'm watching you still respond to other Christians. I don't care who they are, what race they are, where they're at, whatever that means. You're hating. You're not a Christian. Pay close attention. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. There is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. We now allow, we give excuse to, while God does not, because the Holy Spirit empowers us. So if we hate our brothers, if we hate our brothers, it is impossible for us to love God. You can't. It cannot happen. So if you hate your brother, it is impossible for us to love God. 1 John 4:20-21 says, if anyone says, there's that claiming again, I love God, yet hates his brother. That's the action. Okay? I said I'm a Christian, but my actions towards you, my response towards you, how I treat you in reference to others, in reference to Christ, hate, I'm not a Christian. It says he is a liar. Not only is he lying to God, he's lying to himself and to others. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God. This is not a restriction. This is a warning, because he's saying it's impossible to do it. It's an understanding of, you can't do both. I can't hate them. So when you see these organizations, that's not trying to create a spiritual homogeneous body. They're trying to build a fleshly homogeneous body and call it Christianity. They're hating. If God created every nation, how am I going to build with just one race? How am I going to build with one ideology? How am I just going to build with one culture? Do you see where I'm coming from? That's called hate. You understand? Just because you say you don't hate, is it matching what he says hate is? Right? He says he cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us the command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. He's saying only way you can truly love God is to love your brother. It's the only way that will work, right? The only way that will work. And we have to make sure of that, and we have to understand that, and we have to stay focused on that, or we're going to go in the wrong direction. We're going to do the wrong thing if we don't recognize this. Now, God has provided all the ingredients of love. He did that for our understanding of it. And if you're not doing these ingredients, then you're not loving. So we're going to first read the ingredients, and then we're going to look at the opposite so you understand what hate is. And pay close attention to it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6, he says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. That's love. Okay, so if I took the opposite of that, that would be hate. Let's see what that looks like. Hate is the opposite of love that we just read. And we see that in 1 John 4:20, okay, where it shows us that if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. Okay, so what is that? First of all, impatience. If I show impatience, I may feel impatient, but if I show impatience, what does that mean? If I catch myself being short with others, dealing with people based on my perception, acting by being irritated with. Some people will give you the time, but it just look like you just, you know, ripped them apart. Somebody ever asked you for help or want to talk to you and they didn't get something, and then you just immediately show annoyances? All this is action. Please don't say you can't help it. You better help it. I'd be lying if I didn't say, I know I get annoyed. I feel annoyed. I'm sorry, but I cannot show it. And I know people get annoyed. You know, I watch people who have that same, because I, you know, like I say, I get confused. But my thing is, when a person has that, especially when they're a Christian, I have to back off. I have to back off. And I'm hoping I'm not doing that. And I hope they do the same thing. We rebuke, we correct, because that's wrong. Impatience is unacceptable, never, ever acceptable. I don't care if you think, man, y'all should have got this by now. You can tell them they should have got it by now, but impatience, never accepted. Unkind. What that looks like in God is when I'm being harsh and unforgiving. I think a lot of times somebody will say sorry, and you'll say, okay, now, but you act cold. You are passive aggressive. You're irritated once again with. You're being spiteful towards, uncaring to how your actions may affect others, mean or cold in your reaction to them. But you'll say, but I said, I forgot, forgave them. You see how we do junk like that? And I stress junk like that because we are not to do that. We keep it tense. We cause a problem. Why? Because my feelings were hurt. We still make it about us. That's unkind. Okay? I don't care what they did to you. Being unkind, never acceptable. Never, ever. I can't show evil for their evil. Envious. When I react in response to what other people have or do in a way to equal or surpass them, or not responding to them based on what they do or have. Sometimes we treat people a certain way, and we treat them that way because of what when we measure with them. It could be their relationships, it could be their possessions, it could be something that happened to them. And the feeling, sometimes you're going to feel envious, but your actions are going to show happiness for them. Your actions are going to show comfort for them, true godly love for them. But when I show envy, then you'll see me striving to get what they have, to talk down what they had, tell them how much they don't deserve what they had. That's envy. And that's me acting upon it. Boasting. Boasting comes in two forms. Talking about your strengths and possessions over others. Belittling others, using you as a standard of measure. Wearing, driving, living, acting, performing, and displaying with the purpose of glorifying self. That first half, I think we know, is when you hear me talking about how great I am. Look at what I did. I'm so wonderful. Why don't people ever listen to me? Don't they know I'm right? Man, I got, you know, we put that out. That's me boasting, because boasting is not real. I got what God allowed me to do. That's it. I have to boast in the Lord. He allowed me to. That's it. And when I live it, that's why I said, when I wear for the purpose of, you know how they, anybody watch any of the award shows and they go outside on red carpet and they're talking to them and they say, what are you wearing? And then they say somebody's name that costs a gazillion dollars. That's them showing, look how successful and rich I am. Right? What the heck? And that's what we do. We boast. We got. I can only buy this type of car because it's going to show where I've come from. There are women carrying purses that cost more than cars sometimes. You understand? To show, look how, you know, I've arrived. It's not. And I understand when you buy for quality, but when you buy for a character, when you buy to really show to others, that's boasting. So when you see me put more emphasis on how I look to you based on the world and not how I look to you spiritually, that's boasting. That's not right. That's hate. Pride. I'll bet you never really heard pride this way, because pride is just, you know, I have my pride and this is a deep thing. You watch people. We are prideful people and they say all that nonsense. Here's what pride looks like based on the Bible. When you have self-made restrictions and or standards, and the thing that makes it wrong is they're self-made. When it comes to dealing with others, I'm not apologizing to them, I'm fine with it, or I'm not talking to them until they, and then you fill in the blanks. You have many people that will do God commands to a point. I forgave them four times, I'm not forgiving them again. Do you understand what I'm saying? We'll give our lines that we have drawn, right? It can only go this far. I've heard people, God, I'm going to serve you, but I'm not going to do it with kids. I'm not going to go with the, you know, people over here. I don't want to work with this group of people. That's pride. Pride is hate. We're supposed to be humble. Rude. It's when we're being offensive. Now, that word offensive is subjective because I don't know what may offend others. That means I have to live focusing. There's certain things down here that we may do that may cause harm to others. Now, once again, please don't mistake it for what other people like. It's when it harms them. I've heard people who call themselves Christians and they hate that term, hate the terminology politically correct. Now, think about why they hate it. They only hate it because it's inconvenient. Why was it created? Because there were people that were offended by things that were put in place. Did you ever ask that? I'm showing you biblical support for it, and you still got Christians going, you know what? We've been saying this forever. Let's keep on saying it forever. Christians have no business doing that. Christians look at it and go, how can I respond in order not to harm? Remember, we're not doing it for their desire. We're doing it not to offend. We're not impolite. We're not, when you're not courteous and purposely doing something despite others. You know it offends people, but you continue to do it. Certain words you say, certain ways you act, certain jokes you tell, all of that is rude. All of that is hate. Are you getting it? Self-seeking is a big form of hate. Everything done on the basis of self. When the reason why I do what I do, the purpose why I do what I do is me. I'm good with it. When I'm fine with it, not taking others into consideration unless it is okay with self. Unless I'm good with it, we're not doing it. Right? When you have that in every case, I watch many people who get comfortable despite asking others, hey, is my comfort doing anything to make you uncomfortable? Think about that, because it's all foundational on you. Easily angered. That's when, and I'm not talking about how you feel, because a lot of us have irritated flesh, period. But I can't react. Easily angered means you react irritated by. That means that your response is, you look like you're just mad at them all the time, responds emotionally and not understandably, either harshly reacting out of anger or not responding because of anger. People become cold. People don't realize in many cases they have their reason for acting the way they do, and they think God's going to think that way when he tells us not to act this way. When I act irritated, when they don't act to my standard, that's easily angered. That is hate. Delights in evil doesn't always look like evil. And I'm going to show you. We'll be happy with evil when evil happens. What does that mean? First of all, you got to understand what evil happens. When something somebody does is not in line with God, that's evil. Now, remember I told you, there are groups out there that God their lifestyles is wrong. We have to minister to those people to get them out of it. But you have some people that teach, and I'll use like I said, the homosexual community, to teach to hate them. They'll call it not hate, but you watch their actions toward them. Many homosexuals will not come to get the true word of God because of how the hate we have shown to them. Do you understand that? We are not to accept their lifestyle, but there is a loving, caring, compassionate way to guide them to God. And we're not doing that. And we rejoice when you hear us doing something to hate them. Treating, endorsing, and or participating with others in things not based on God is delighting in evil. Pay close attention to certain things in your life that you really enjoy, that you want to do, and then go and show me. And I've always asked people to do this on any case that you're doing. Can you fully support that in God's word? If you can't, it's hate. The last one is mourns the truth. There are certain things that God says we have to do. I mean, look at the love of your enemy. You know they're trying to harm you and your family. You just want to get back at them. You want to do something to them because of what they're doing. You just want to so bad. But you live in a way because you're so mad at what God's saying, you're reacting against it as if it's the worst thing. When you're not happy unless you are treating or participating with others not based on God. Discourages a person's walk with Christ. Encourages a person's walk based on anything else other than Christ. You see how simple those ingredients are. Now pay close attention to some of the things that you admire, things that you honor, things that you hold esteem to. Do they fit these or do they fit love? Can't get around it. We are not called to merely claim who we are. We must ensure that we truly are. The people of the world just say, no, I'm not this evil person. No, I'm not a racist. No, I'm not bad to person. No, I'm not hating other groups. No. All right? They just say it and they think they're covered. Look at what God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. How many of us just walk around thinking they're in the faith? The disturbing thing is many are not. Pastor, how do you know in the test? Same way I'm telling you with everything else. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the word of God. So when your basis is on the full word of God, on this action and of how you're living, that's faith. If it's not, you failed. And you got some ministers going, nobody can do that. You're absolutely right. No person in themselves can do that. But we live through Christ. We're strengthened by Christ. Oh, yeah, we all can do it. He says, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. You're going to have some people that slip at times. So know the difference between slipping at times into the flesh and have to come back and restore it to the spirit. And then you have some people where that's their nature. They are not Christians. You got a lot of people that routinely go to church. They want credit for that. They'll say amen. They'll sing some songs. But this is them. And there is no testing. There is no examining of it. It's a shame because I've seen recently some bridge accidents because of the tests that they failed. Well, for the all time, we'll drive across those bridges because in our minds, they are safe. But when was the last time they were examined and stress test? In the same way, when was the last time you were examined? Is all of your actions to everybody based on love? True love begins with reverence for God. This is the element we totally eliminated. This is the element we've totally gotten rid of. Proverbs 8:13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. That's the hate we're supposed to have of evil. Anything that's not of God. And we do it out of reverence. That means I do it to please my Father. I don't do it because I think it deserves to be hated. I don't do it because a lot of people agree with me. My church said it is. I do it because the word told me, and the word is God, and the word is truth. He says, I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. You'll see me immediately going, that goes against God. That's wrong. I've heard many people give speeches, give sermons, give whatever, and the stuff is outside of God. Immediately, we're supposed to go, that's wrong. I've heard when people make the mistake of going, I see where they're coming from. We slandered. We have hurt many people, many groups of people by slander because of what we like. That's hate. Final warning to everybody who continues in this path. Eternal warning to all those who choose to hate. 1 John 3:15 says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Brothers and sisters, we have to examine ourselves. There's too many things we've allowed, too many definitions we've distorted, too many paths that we know are wrong, but we're not living in what we're supposed to know. We're living in what we desire. Stop playing yourself. Many are called, few are chosen. Are we truly selecting the correct path and actually going in that way? Let's get hate out of our lives and live in godly love. Let us pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity of your word, gathering it, getting this instruction, giving clarity, giving the descriptions that we need. We thank you so much for giving us the correct definition to bring us back from what we allowed the world, allowed man, to distort that definition. We ask for guidance, dear Lord, on those who are misleading through how they live, who have guided people in the wrong way. And we ask this special thing for all of us to really examine our hearts, to examine the purpose of our lives, examine everything that we do, and make sure 100% it's in line with you. And that we can really cleanse ourselves to live for you despite how we feel. We thank you so much for the love and the kindness and all that you give. All these blessings we asked in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.